Glory, hallelujah. Well, here we are again. We're still doing it. We're still here. Glory to God. You know, before we get started, a couple things I want to share. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Thank you. You know, so many times we have to remind ourselves and refresh ourselves in the area that this is not our home. And that we are actually born, and I know that sometimes it's hard to comprehend, but we were born in the outer court, the outer darkness, I got to say. We were born in outer darkness. Now, there's accountability in outer darkness. So when a child is born and dies before the age of accountability, they go home. Amen? But if a person dies in outer darkness, they go to hell. Because there's a spiritual outer darkness, which is called hell, and there's a physical outer darkness, which is called the world. So the whole world is outer darkness. And those who live and love the world are enemies of God, and they die unless they turn their hearts. They go to hell. And so in this, we are reminded all the time that because of the area to where we were born, this is not our home, and our home is, we're heaven bound. And the enemy is going to do everything he can to prevent us from making it home. That's his purpose. He doesn't want you to make it home. And he wants you to bring as many that have been saved back into outer darkness, if he can. So in this time of that we're going through right now, what we're watching is all the exposure of outer darkness. The world is being exposed of the most wicked things in outer darkness. And one of the things God's trying to do is awaken these individuals so they can at least access the outer court. Now, the outer court is a part of the tabernacle, and we must remember that everything revolves around two major things, the tabernacle of God and the seven feasts of the Lord. Everything revolves around those time sequences. Everything of God's plan and purpose revolves around the tabernacle and the seven feasts of the Lord. And so in this, we have the tabernacle of God, which we call the outer courts, the holy place and the most holy place. Each one of those chambers has a boundary or what we call a door. And then you've got outer darkness. And these boundaries are known as spiritual boundaries. And so God is trying to bring the reality of spiritual boundaries. Now, we know physical boundaries, but there are spiritual boundaries that must be understood. And that's one of the things I want to talk about today. And I really believe that the Spirit wants to bring us the reality of spiritual boundaries. The reason why spiritual boundaries, because these boundaries are not seen with the natural eye. These boundaries are seen with the spiritual eye. You can't see them with the physical eye. These are not physical boundaries. Not saying that there's not physical boundaries. But there are spiritual boundaries. And when a person crosses over these spiritual boundaries, they're stepping into outer darkness or they're stepping into destruction and danger. And it's important that we begin to recognize spiritual boundaries. And I want to first start with the Acts 17, verse 22. Acts 17, verse 22. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together. Then Paul stood in the midst of the, my favorite asparagus, Areopagus, and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through the and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. Verse 24. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and their boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. Why? Because repentance activates the blood of Jesus, which brings cleansing. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Spiritual boundaries, unseen limitations, to prevent us from crossing over into deception and destruction. These are designed to protect believers, to promote holiness, and to guide a life pleasing to God. I'll say these again. What are they for? They are designed to protect believers. What's the word believe? One who follows. Amen? Followers. To promote holiness and to guide a life pleasing to God. This was attempted with the commandments of God in Exodus 20. Would everybody go there in verse chapter 1? Exodus 20, verse 1. I'm sorry. Exodus 20, verse 1. Oh, hallelujah. These were the foundational spiritual boundaries Exodus 20, verse 1. Glory to God. Everybody there? Let's speak it. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, or what the word Egypt means is bondage, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image and likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to those, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So what are the commandments? They were the foundational spiritual boundaries. You shall not take a name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Hallelujah. Verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do not work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. In the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is in your neighbor's. Now, again, these are foundational spiritual boundaries, moral, ceremonial, and civil law that set apart Israel to be a holy nation. It was protected their covenant relationship with God, those who were underneath and submitted to these boundaries that God gave them. I'll say it again. These are spiritual boundaries, foundational boundaries. They're for the moral, ceremonial, and civil law that set apart Israel as a holy nation and protected their covenant relationship with God, those who abided by these boundaries that God had set. In Galatians chapter 5, I think it's verse 16. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:16. Spiritual boundaries. Again, spiritual boundaries are not seen by the naked eye. But when you are born of the Spirit, that's why the scales come off of your eyes. Now you're able to see the spiritual boundaries. And it's not an area where you're going to see a line. It's an area where you're going to sense. Because the anointing increases your senses so that you can discern these boundaries. There'll be a conviction and there'll be a witness with inside you. Verse 16, let's speak it. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So you do not do the things that you wish or desire. Now let me ask you this. Is a desire something seen? No. No. See, the enemy knows how to get us to cross over spiritual boundaries by enticing us. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery. So, adultery, when somebody commits adultery, right, they open themselves to a spiritual boundary breach. Amen. But before they committed that adultery, they were already influenced by the demonic forces to cross over that spiritual boundary. You know, you think about how many times we did something we should have known we shouldn't have. Because God was trying to protect us from crossing over the spiritual boundary. See, anything that God tells you to do that we cross over usually brings disaster. How about buying the wrong vehicle? Lord, which vehicle should I? Oh, I need one now. Oh, I love this one. Oh, that emotional purchase. Hallelujah. Then they bring it home and all four wheels fall off and don't start again. And the thing becomes an ornament in the backyard. Hallelujah. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they've already crossed over the spiritual boundaries. Amen. So this baloney of once saved, always saved, think you can go out and do whatever you want without repenting, ain't going to work. Just not going to work. Well, I repented when I accepted Jesus as Savior. Well, have you sinned since then? No. Yeah, right. You lie right now. You're sinning right now. You're standing before me lying. We sin every day. That's why we got to repent every day. And go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Glory to God. Spiritual boundaries. So again, if somebody crosses over a spiritual boundary, what do they need to do? Repent and get back over. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Anybody there? Cool. Let's, when I say Proverbs 4, verse 20, let's grow for it. Hallelujah. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, and do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, and don't let them depart from your spiritual eyes. Why? Because they will reveal the boundaries. What's God trying to do? Bring the boundaries. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who what? Find them, and health to those of all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, but and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Whoa. Setting limits. You know, see, again, so God has given us the ability to set our own limits besides the limits he's given us for boundaries. In other words, be careful how long you're on the internet. Set limitations. How much media you're listening to. How many things you're watching. Relationships. Activities that lead to sin or destruction or things that so many, you know, people are involved. They begin to, that's where the enemy plays with us to put things before God. In other words, and let me tell you, God will test us, and he does. He puts things across our path to see if we're willing to drop something that we wanted to do or that we had planned so that it can be business for the kingdom. He wants to know where we're at. He always checks us, and he already knows where we're at, but he wants us to know where we're at. Amen? You know, remember the Good Samaritan, how many people walked by that person? And then finally one person stopped and took care of that person, but just didn't, you know, give him a buck and say, here, go. He actually took care of that person and took things. That's a kingdom business. Amen? Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. We had to go out on an emergency call last night. It was around 6, 6:30, I don't know. Some work we did for somebody. And they called us and told us they didn't have any hot water. I'm thinking, what the heck? So, you know, first thing Shane and I thought is, uh-oh, maybe the line busted and it's leaking everywhere. So we went out there, and there was no water there. Praise God. I mean, there was no water where we thought we had repaired. And come to find out, it was a simple little switch inside this closet that's got all kinds of gadgets in it. And they have solar panels, and they got all kinds of, I mean, it was incredible. One said winter, one said summer. So we had the summer, we had the winter switch on, but turned off all the hot water. So I don't, that didn't make sense. Anyways, we turned it, we checked everything, and everything worked out. But on our way there, we saw so many people begging. I never saw so many people on the street begging. And we were going by Lowe's. Every corner was taken with beggars. And they weren't dressed like they were beggars. They were out wanting to get money for a fix. It grieved my spirit. I was so disappointed. I'm thinking, my gosh, there are that many people out there begging. There's so many people bound up. And you know what they're doing? They have no spiritual boundaries. In fact, they don't have any physical boundaries. And this is what God is trying to establish now. He's trying to establish us, putting things first, kingdom first. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody there, 6:12? Everybody okay? Let's grow for it. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be put under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your body are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to the harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Wow. Boundaries. These are personal, your personal conduct boundaries. Your personal boundaries. Why? Because your personal boundaries are very important. Why? Because they're spiritual personal boundaries. These are spiritual personal boundaries. In Matthew 18, verse 1. You know, many people who don't know this do not receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit because they're not looking to discern what boundaries. Hallelujah. Matthew 18, verse 1. Let's speak it. Everybody there? Good. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of the offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. Now, is an offense an emotional thing? Yes. So can it cause you to spiritually, cause you to go over a spiritual boundary? Yes. See, these are things that are unseen that we must begin to recognize more. These things of influence, we must begin, why do I feel this way? Why am I thinking this way? You know, we have that teaching, who told you that, right? If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, don't come in here with a hand or foot missing, all right? And cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. You just need to repent. That's all you got to do. Praise God. You don't got to cut it off or nothing, man. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and casts it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and to be cast into fire. Amen. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. In other words, they're always standing before these little children. They have angels watching over them. And they're always looking at the Father for these children. These children that are abducted. These children that are sacrificed. These people will not get away with it. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 to go to the mountains to seek the one that was astray? And if he should find it, as surely as I say to you, he rejoices more over the sheep that were over the 99 than the one that escaped or went astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Wow. Spiritual boundaries are unseen to the natural eye, but seen to the spiritual eye. And human acts are caused by unseen spiritual beings. These acts are caused by the influence of unseen spiritual beings, like demons. Amen. Principalities, powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places. They bring this influence, causing a crossing over of these boundaries, leading to some death. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexual immoral people. Why? Associations bring what? Impartations. Amen. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexual immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother or sister who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves these persons. Put them out, right? Hallelujah. Their presence will influence and breach the boundary walls and entice a crossover into outer darkness. This happens all the time. And again, it's not always just into outer darkness, but an area of danger. But if you stay there, if a person continues in such a thing, they end in outer darkness, don't they? In other words, I mean, I've seen many, many areas where people were busted. Pastors living a life of fornication. Some of them for years had girlfriends and stuff like that. I'm like, what? Or addicted. In fact, some of them have OD'd. But again, believe me, the battle is strong. And you have to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might to overcome. He doesn't want us to be witnesses, the enemy. The enemy doesn't want you to know the truth. The enemy doesn't want you to be the example of overcoming. Amen. Hallelujah. Now remember, everything revolves around the seven feasts of the Lord. Amen. And we talked about that. Everything revolves around the tabernacle of God. So think about how God set the tabernacle in the middle of all the tribes of Israel because they stayed close to Him. That was the only way they defeated their enemies, by being obedient to God. They were led by fire by night and cloud by day. But they were led. so that they could overcome. So God set spiritual boundaries already around them. Matthew 22, verse 11. Glory. Matthew 22, verse 11, please. Everybody there? But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into where? Outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are what? Chosen. These are the garments of the tabernacle. These are the garments of the tabernacle he was talking about. He knows whether you're connected to the tabernacle or not. He knows where you're living in the tabernacle or not. And these are garments. So there's garments of the tabernacle and there's garments of the world. Outer darkness. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 1. James chapter 4, verse 1. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Is a desire seen or unseen? It's unseen. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Now, why did they murder and covet? Because of the unseen influence that caused them to cross over. But they had the first crossover through what? The spiritual boundaries. They had to cross that over before they would do something in the physical. Does everybody get that? Anybody get it? Okay. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your desires. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore do what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Glory. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Spiritual boundaries. Again, you cannot see these boundaries with the naked eye. The physical eye. They are seen by the spirit. Only when you get spiritual sight are you able to discern these boundaries and be convicted when you are over them. James 4, verse 1, let's speak it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Let's speak it. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself, or no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the what? Affairs of this life, the emotional affairs of this life that cause people to step over the spiritual boundaries, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Thank you, Jesus. Entanglements and affairs of this world and this life will cross over the spiritual boundaries. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Is everybody there? What's it say? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, if you do this, if you what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what's unclean. What? Spiritually and physically. How do you touch something unclean? With your mind. How about your words? Touch in agreement. That's spiritual. But then there's physical, that you touch unclean things. And then I will receive you. Don't touch these things. Do not touch what's unclean, and I will receive you. Verse 18. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Come out from the corruptive world of influence and reset your spiritual boundaries. Sometimes we got to reset our own spiritual boundaries. To be what? Reminded. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Second Peter chapter 2. I said Timothy? Second Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Heck, we were just at Second Timothy, weren't we? Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Now, I was going to say something. I got to remember it now. I got interrupted by correction. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Praise be to God. Let's speak it. Somebody's turning these things on me. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. By whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed in her wallowing in mire. Now again, we talked about the area to where the commandments of God was a kind of an example, a foundational beginning of the spiritual boundaries, the Ten Commandments we call. They call it the Ten Commandments, but there was more than that. Amen. Now the Holy Spirit sets our boundaries. Amen. So as he sets our boundaries in every area, in every part of our life, these spiritual boundaries are vitally important. Why? So we don't cross over. Look at even the 12-step programs, they have boundaries. They have a list of boundaries. Now, there's nothing wrong with the 12-step program, but don't get stuck in it. You know, it's a good way for someone that doesn't know anything. That's how I began. I went to a meeting, a 12-step program. But this voice kept telling me, get out of there. There's more. And you know, the 12th step is called a spiritual awakening. As too many people begin the spiritual awakening, begin to worship light bulbs and stuff. The spiritual awakening is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which they miss. Hallelujah. And that is the most important thing, because the spiritual baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, will remove those scales so they can begin to see real boundaries of spiritual boundaries. But then these people are bound to a meeting. They believe they can't make it. And then they confess and they go walk around the room going, hi, I'm an addict. My name's whatever. Well, that's bringing a curse on yourself, because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Again, if you don't know nothing, it's a good place to start. But don't ever stay there. Why? Because what does the 12-step do? It does not free you. It teaches you management. So you're managing demons instead of being free from them. Amen? But like I said, it's not wrong with starting here, but don't stay there. Hallelujah. Are we at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18? Good. Can we go to the next one then? Romans 12. Glory. Romans 12, verse 1. Glory. What's it say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thoughts. Of your what? Your thoughts. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing. The Bible tells us, as a man thinks, so he is. Amen? Renewing your thoughts. In other words, you're renewing the promises of God to you. You're always removing the things of deception, of darkness, and placing them with light. So while you speak light, you eat light. While you speak light, you eat light. And the more light you speak, the more light you eat. Same thing with worship. The more the words you sing, the more light you become. That's why there's deliverance in worship. Three things that happen to individuals. They get delivered, they get healed, and they get filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to close it. James chapter 1, verse 12. Glory. James chapter 1, verse 12. Spiritual boundaries. Let's speak it. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Is temptation? It can be physical and spiritual, can't it? For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Now look at this. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his what? Own desires. Are desires spiritual? Yes, they're not fit. They have an emotional, what people might call, well, it's kind of physical desire, but no, it's an emotional desire. It is a spiritual, circumstance there. You cannot see a desire. That desire can come from anywhere, can't it? All of a sudden you can wake up with something. Now, it's usually something you've experienced, whatever. In other words, you might have a desire for a Twinkie. Or a Ho-Ho, or an Oreo, or something. Pizza. And all of a sudden you got a, man, I'm hungry. That's a desire, you know? But there are certain things that we don't want to eat. Because that desire can harm us. Amen? This is where the enemy plays. He wants to bring you desires that harm you. So you don't finish the course that God's predestined for you. Verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Is addiction a desire? Yes. They call it a sickness, but it's not. It's a presence of evil. It's that presence that brings desire. So spirits, that's why the Bible says you know them by their fruit. So these spirits that bring desire, you'll know by the fruit. Amen? If you see oranges all over the floor, you know there's an orange tree. That tree is called a spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation or creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, every man be swift to what? Hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness. Receive with the meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of freedom or liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Spiritual boundaries. You'll learn more and more about spiritual boundaries every day. Amen. Praise God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. And we ask that what's been planted today by the seed of your word be grow and bear fruit for your glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Prepare your hearts for communion, please.